Now, an Australian doctor and his wife have been kidnapped by extremists in Burkina Faso, near the country's borders with Nigeria and Mali. The Burkina government tells us that Dr. Kenneth Elliott and his wife Jocelyn were kidnapped yesterday. They were in their 80s. They'd run a clinic and lived in northern Burkina Faso since 1972. Now, he's been practicing medicine there for more than 40 years. They've built and run a 120-bed medical clinic in the town. The town is around about 45 kilometres south of the border with Mali. And, of course, there's been intense sectarian strife in recent years, and that's seen Islamic groups seize large swathes of land and also destroy ancient artefacts. Now, I've got on the line an Australian missionary in Burkina Faso. For his protection, we've agreed not to mention his name. Look, thanks for talking to us tonight, Sunday night our time, Sunday morning your time. Have we just dragged you out of church?
No, I'm on my way there.
Right. What's your feeling as you go to church this morning?
Oh, I don't know. In one sense, it's sort of normal and not surprising, although I'm a bit surprised that it's happened this soon. But given what's been going on in our neighbouring countries, you know, we expected this kind of thing to come. I guess we're all just waiting to see what happens following it and then what happens in terms of, you know, how long we can stay or what restrictions there are on our movements. But, yeah.
When did you first hear the word that Kenneth and Jocelyn had been abducted?
Oh, a friend of mine from the time when we used to live up in that same town, I think Gibbo, rang me to ask if it was true because he'd been hearing rumours in the town but hadn't been able to get any confirmation. And so I then rang a few people and got confirmation, which was yesterday morning our time.
And what do you understand about their abduction?
We don't know a great deal, actually. So their house was found open fairly early in the morning yesterday. They found a broken torch and some evidence that they were just, you know, carried across the fence and put into a car, and that's all we really know. Apparently there's reports that one group linked with ACMI, or, you know, Al-Qaeda in the Western Sahara, have claimed responsibility, but there's a lot of different views about that. So actually we don't really know a great deal.
Mm. You knew them because you used to live around the corner from them, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, we lived in that town for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, I think, and yeah, they were just a few streets away.
Tell us about them as a couple.
They are a lovely, gentle, humble Christian couple. They're really sweet, really generous, really committed, obviously, to serving the poorest of the poor in Jesus' name. And willing to make great sacrifices for that. They were just lovely.
and I take it...
And loved by the whole town. The whole town is really upset and really annoyed that this has happened, which is a great testimony to their love for the people up there.
It's an extraordinary commitment to spend from 40 years old to 80 years old loving and serving in the name of Jesus in the same town.
Yeah. And they actually, from talking to them, they started somewhere else but chose that town because it was even poorer and the people had far less opportunity to have access to medical care than when they first began. So they really chose, you know, the hardest place to go and serve and shine the light of Jesus. They're really a great example to all of us.
Can you describe the clinic that... Really, I guess it's unmanned at this stage.
In terms of what it's like in general?
What it's like in general first, and then what the impact of their abduction will have on that clinic.
It's a fairly large yard or compound with a couple of residential buildings on it. But then the clinic itself is made up of, from memory, 3 or 4 buildings where they have consultations and then surgery almost every day of the week, because his speciality is surgery. It's very basic, but offers, good quality and still clean hygienic care. Dr. Elliot was the only person manning it, the only doctor in residence, and so I guess it's all just ground to a halt, and some people waiting for care will still be waiting, and I guess, but some of them, if they're able, will probably have gone home, just in absence of knowing what's going to happen.
Now,
there will be some nurses still there, but whether, I'm not sure what, I guess it depends on injuries and what's happening, but
you were describing before the kind of increasing difficulty politically and really your own potential danger and how long you can stay. Could you just elaborate on that for us?
Tony, can you repeat the question?
You were describing at the very beginning the increasingly difficult political situation and perhaps even danger for yourself and whether or not you'd be able to continue to stay there or not. Could you just elaborate on what you know about that?
Since we arrived in 2010, there was already talk of potential security issues. And so since that time, we've been required to take increasing security measures for personal safety, but also for the safety of other members of our organisation and other affiliate organisations. Events have become more and more prolific in neighbouring countries. These are the first ones really in Burkina. So in a sense, it's getting closer and closer. But it's hard to know at this stage whether, of course, this is just a one-off and it will never happen again, or whether it's the beginning of a pattern. And so we really don't know what that will mean. But we're not likely, and we're not keen on just running and hiding at the first hint of danger. 1 Peter says we need to be prepared to suffer for the gospel, and we are, and we're willing to serve people here, so we're not keen on just running, but of course that choice isn't always entirely up to us as individuals either. So,
yeah, I imagine your missionary organisation will have views. Well, how's your wife going with the pressure of this?
She's amazingly strong. She's going quite fine. She's less dead than I am, I think. but that's just because she's made a stronger stuff than me. The decision is partly through our mission organisation as well as the local government. We might at some point say that it's no longer safe for foreigners, so they require us to leave. Or at some point it might even be unsafe for our local Burkina Bay colleagues for us to be around. So it's better for them if we go. So there's a whole lot of factors that govern that. So we'll just have to wait and keep praying and follow God's leading.
Right. Look, maybe I could pray with you, and then perhaps you could pray for the Burkina Faso situation in general as well.
Yeah.
Our Father God, our Father, we just thank you for the work of the Australian Christian medical missionaries, Kenneth and Jocelyn, and we ask that you might protect them now. We ask for what seems like a miracle. We ask for their safe release. We thank you for the 40 years that Dr. Elliot has spent serving the community there in northern Burkina Faso, of loving and serving and sharing Christ with those people. And we thank you for the massive impact that Christ's love working through Kenneth and Jocelyn has had on that community. And we pray that through their actions over so many years, through their works, through their words, we pray that men and women in that neighbourhood might look beyond Kenneth and Jocelyn and see the Lord Jesus, the Saviour who sent them. And we pray for them in the horror of this moment that they might have a sense of your protection. And we pray for their family and friends at this time as well. And for my missionary friend we're talking with at the moment, for his wife, we pray for safety. We pray for the government there. We pray for the law and order forces. We pray that they might be able to find and release Kenneth and Jocelyn and to bring their captors to justice. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ.
Father God, we thank you so much for the peace that has been in Burkina, even despite the huge differences in cultures and religions that are here, and that people are proud of that peace. But God, we see that there are people who want to change that. Father, we ask that your hand be upon this nation and bring back peace and bring back stability. And we pray that you protect us from terrorists and violent extremists, and that you would protect your church here and keep growing your church here, and grow it into maturity, that it no longer needs outside help. And we pray that it would be a great witness in standing strong despite attack, despite suffering, and despite opposition. For your name's sake, amen.
Amen. Look, do let the Burkina Christians that you go and meet in a few minutes' time know that churches in Australia have been praying for them today, and that we've been praying on the radio here for them tonight.
Yeah, we'll do. That will be really encouraged. I love that. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
I can't tell you that man's name. We agreed in being able to interview him not to release his name. He's an Australian missionary in Burkina Faso, and we're talking, of course, about the abduction of the two Australian Christian medical missionaries, Kenneth Elliott and Jocelyn Elliott, yesterday in Burkina Faso. This is 2CH 1170.